Blog Talk Radio.
Today's episode of the A New Day Show, and happy Sunday to you wherever you're joining us from. We just enjoyed some beautiful showers here in Connecticut, so the plants are smiling happily right now. I want to remind you that I really enjoy your involvement in the conversation, and I want you to do so by joining the chat room, which is up, or take the time to call in. The number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And we are going to be tying up today from the book we started a few months ago, by Darian Kagan, What's Possible? 50 True Stories of People Who Dare to Dream That They Could Make a Difference. So hopefully I will tie up that this evening. And then next week we will be back with inviting some guests on who have amazing stories to share with us. I want to share with you from Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. That's one of the books that I'm one of the contributing authors to. And today I want to share with you a few of the entries that are here. I'm going to share with you the one for July 12, which is Savoring the Simple Moments. Then we're going to do July 13, which is Inner Wisdom. Then July 14th is Caring Friends. And July 15th, which is today, is Choices. So I want to share these with you, and then we'll go into the book. Savoring the Simple Moments. And this came from Kara Wilson Grant. One of my favorite scenes in the classic play Our Town by Thornton Wilder is when Emily says goodbye to all that she will miss the most about her life on earth. Clocks ticking, mama and papa, sunflowers, food and coffee, new iron dresses, and hot bath, sleeping and waking up. It goes fast, she cries out. We don't have time to look at one another. On earth, we are too wonderful for anybody to realize you. It's the simple things she misses the most, but the ones that have the greatest impact. Her words shake me to the core of my being and remind me the time and again to be aware of my awareness, to step back and savor each precious moment, for each is a gift, so what am I most grateful for? Life. Appreciating it while I'm here to live it. I am grateful for my five senses. Eyesight, taste, touch, smell, and hearing. The sound of laughter, conversations of loved ones, music, thunder, birds singing, wind blowing the palm trees, the sharp, clean ocean air, the pavement, grass, and trees after a rainy day, poppy breath, chocolate, the touch of my husband's hugs, my cat's cuddles, sunrises and sunsets. I am so grateful for this time to realize and love it all. Inner wisdom. I am grateful for discovering my inner wisdom at an early age. From the moment I was born, I started asking why, but I was always fobbed off with. Why is a crooked letter, and you shouldn't ask why. The knowledge of another information source came to me when I was only 11. The sounds of children laughing with delight rang in my ears as I ran through the school playground. I suddenly realized I was hearing as an observer, not a participant. It was as though my senses were elevated high above me. Amazingly, I could hear each child's voice and laughter individually. A question came to mind. Why do other kids get to experience such joy, and I get the hell that is my life? Unfortunately, my childhood home was as dangerous and traumatic as a war zone. Imagine my surprise when I receive an answer. A voice in my head said, to make you strong, because God has something special in mind for you later in life. I am grateful for this extraordinary and defining moment, as it not only unearthed the treasure of knowledge within, but also enabled me to survive with my pure sense intact. And this is a contribution from Faye Grant Williams. Caring friends. Today, I am grateful for friends who show up during a crisis. I glance at my watch, 2 more hours. It seemed impossible that 18 hours before, we'd been at our cabin 250 miles north. When I called my mom to tell her we'd arrived safely, I knew something was wrong, very wrong. So we returned home that morning, took one look at her, and knew an emergency room visit was necessary. 3 hours later, we sat at the waiting room as she underwent surgery. I heard footsteps. Turning, I saw a couple of dear friends. We came as soon as the request came through the prior chain, she said. Anything new? The doctor thinks a bowel obstruction. He said the surgery took about 4 hours, 2 to go. We have all afternoon to wait with you, she said as they sat down. We shared memories from our 20 years friendship. What a relief to focus on something other than the surgery. What seemed like minutes later, the doctor arrived, smiling. It went well. She's resting comfortably, and she'll be as good as new in a few months. Relief washes over us as we thank him. This contribution came from Joyce Hesser. I want to welcome guests 10541 to the chat. Right now I'm sharing from the book Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. And then we are going to go into the book What's Possible, 50 True Stories of people who dared they could make a difference. And the contribution for today, July the 15th, is choices. I am grateful for choices. I love expressing my individuality through my choices. I can choose the type of car I drive, how I dress, the kinds of sports I like. More importantly, I can choose my values, my mentors, and my attitude. My choices are definitely the measuring stick of my character. J.K. Rowling, a woman I greatly admire, once said, "It is our choices that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities." My mother was the perfect example of someone who chooses to afford a view into a beautiful soul. Mom chose to live a joyful life, infusing fun into every day, every task. She chose to bless each life she touches with her contagious enthusiasm. Mom got colon cancer, and she chose to joke with and encourage her doctors and nurses. The cancer went to her liver and she had surgery. Always the comic, she joked. What am I? chopped liver? We laughed and cried and laughed again. My mom chose an amazing attitude, even during her darkest hour, uplifting those whom uplift her. She chose to be the wind beneath our wings. What will you choose today? This is a contribution from Lynn Cunningham. If you are just joining us, remember we encourage you to participate. The number to call to do that is 646-915-8166. And in a minute, I'm taking a brief commercial break, and then we are going to go directly into what's possible.
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
Okay, we are going to start with the story today from Tessa Greenspan. And the title for this story is Abundance on Aisle 6. Tessa Greenspan, owner of Sappington International Farmers Market. My story is what can happen when you don't keep your eye on your investment. But it's also a testament to how you can dig yourself out of almost any hole. I run Sappington International Farmers Market, one of the most successful independent markets in the country. My experience sure didn't start out that way. Investing in the market seemed to be such a good idea back in 1981. My husband Stanley and I were raising our children in St. Louis. We both had background in the produce business, and I thought investing in this particular market would build a nest egg for our retirement. My thinking was totally off base. In my 20s, when my children were very small, my husband and I had a little store. We sold flowers and fruit. I noticed we were selling to a lot of people who had trucks and would set up fruit stands and corners. When I saw the amount of money they were making, I thought, I can do that. I bought a big old red truck, which I had no idea how to drive, but I found an empty parking lot and learned. When I found an empty lot across the river from St. Louis, Ponton Beach, Illinois, and I was in business, I went to market every morning, picked up a load, and set out to the corner fruit stand. I made sure I looked the part, wearing overalls and a straw hat. Many of my customers thought I grew the produce myself. Not only was the business very lucrative, I learned a lot about fruit and produce. I learned fruit was a better look, that fruit has a better look inside, just like people. We sold that business in 1980, and my husband became a wholesaler. I settled into a life of helping him with his books, raising children, and doing a lot of charity work. That's when I came up on what I thought would be a fantastic investment opportunity, buying into what was then called Sappington Produce. It was an old place. What had been a grocery and fruit stand. I invested with partners I had known for 20 years. A family that owned a chain of grocery stores. I suggested we bought the old business and turn it into more of a fruit stand, adding cheese and a few meats. I put up a chunk of money. The other partners basically ran the business. Honestly, I wasn't paying attention at all. I now take full responsibility for that. I figured I could just concentrate on my retirement activities and let my investment grow. Unfortunately, an unattended garden only grows a bunch of weeds. I was shocked in 1986 to discover that the business was hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and the other partners planned to declare bankruptcy. That was my wake-up call. I took a look at the books for the first time in years and found that instead of the cushy nest egg I was planning on, I had $413,000 in debt. Furthermore, if I, too, walked away, many businesses would be left empty-handed. That was simply unacceptable. The first thing I did was take responsibility, not for blowing the money, but for not paying attention. Trust me, that will never happen again in my life. When I rolled up my sleeves and got to work running a large business in which I had no experience, fixing a large problem unlike anything I had ever experienced, I sent a letter to all of the vendors explaining the situation and promised that somehow, some way, all debts would be paid back in full if they would just be patient. This was going to be some challenge because the IRS also wanted $40,000 in back taxes. Before I truly got to work, I had to forgive my other partners. I realized that being angry with them for this mess was only going to take away energy from the deal with the challenges I faced. So I was very, it was very important for me to forgive and let go. That doesn't mean I forgot. It just meant I was pulling my hair out and could concentrate fully on the store. I wasn't pulling my hair out and could concentrate fully on the store. It then became a matter of putting one foot in front of the other. Each day I would go to the bank and I would also take some time to listen to the tapes on positive thinking in my car. I would give myself a little time to walk around the local park, pray, and collect my thoughts. I ask for the strength and guidance to get through this. That was vital because there were battles to fight each day. Sometimes that meant playing the heavy. I discover an employee who was giving a group of employees, so-called employee discount. She would ring up one item and give the employee the rest for free. I had to go. She had to go along with a number of other employees. The first time I had to pay the remaining employees, I had to dip into my own savings. I took out a second mortgage on my home. I sold all my stocks, anything to stay in business. I didn't take a salary for 5 years. There I was in my early 40s, digging myself out of a deep, dark hole that was supposed to have been my nest egg. It took me more than 5 years, but I did it. I finally paid off every cent of the $413,000. It was now time to make a big decision. Close the store or sell it. Instead, I choose to keep open. That might not seem practical in this era of big discount store grocery chains. I knew in order to make it as an independent store, I had to turn Sappington into a unique destination and quality shopping experience. That is exactly what you find when you go to the market today. We are in a building twice the size of the original market. But when you walk in, you find an old-fashioned, farm fresh, friendly place where it's a pleasure for families to shop together. The walls and ceilings are lined in wood. There are elevated toy train that goes around the whole store. I give tours to children, showing them how produce make it from the farm to the store. I let them taste different produce and give each one a coupon, inviting them to bring their parents and grandparents back. They always do. We sell everything here, from groceries to 200 kinds of cheeses, meat, organics and natural foods, sodas, wines, everything a shopper could want. So shoppers don't have to go to two and three stores to get everything they need. In fact, I changed the name of Sappington International Farmers Market because we sell foods from 16 different countries. We have gone from owning to giving. We have gone from owing to giving. There's a wishing well at the store, and every month we pick up different charity. The charity receives whatever money is in the wishing well, and I match it up to $400. We have given away more than $50,000 during the past 10 years just from the wishing well. I like to think that inspiration is the most valuable product that Sappington offers. I want people to know that when they make up their minds, they can do anything if they simply decide they can. I am actually thankful for all the challenges I faced. I could not and would not have learned so much about running a successful business without all of the adversities. But I am not alone or special. We are all meant to do great things. We are all meant to have abundance. It's just a matter of deciding to tap into what's waiting for you. Even if it takes hard work and determination to find it. The so-called nest egg investment certainly turned off differently from what I had planned. In the end, it is a thriving business, and I find financial assets. I have had no idea it would also be the investment tool that would teach me how I would live my life. Is not that an amazing story? And I am sure not only myself who is really connecting with this story, but I'm sure for those of you who are listening, whether you're listening or online or in the chat room or on your phone or from the archive, I am so sure that you too can connect to this story. And what this is teaching me is that even when no one else believes in what you are doing, you must, under all circumstances, believe in that which you are doing and that which you are called to do. Never quit and never give up on yourself. Here is Darian's takeaway from the story. Tessa's story is a great example of how forgiveness is a gift to yourself. She chose to forgive the business partners that left her in the huge financial hole. She forgave because to keep being angry wouldn't serve her. It would simply eat up time and energy that she felt would be better spent on the job at hand, getting out of debt. There's the energy. Here's the energy budget idea at work. How can forgiveness serve you? What better use could you make of the energy you spend in anger? Now, if you are listening and you have a story that you stepped out in faith, or you were feeling the fear, however you stepped out and did it anyhow, and it paid off for you, I want to hear from you today. Please call in 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. The next story I am sharing comes from Barbara K. Just the letter K. Home Fix It Diva, entrepreneur and single mom. I created the largest woman-owned construction company in New York City, only to watch my business and my marriage collapse in the wake of 9/11. Digging myself out of that personal, financial, profession, and professional hole, I made my life by rebuilding project. Now I put tools in the hands of women to make them stronger in their own homes and lives. If you have seen me on television, you know me as Barbara Kay. My mission is to empower women by showing them how they can fix and create things themselves in their own homes. Just the thought that I have made my living as an entrepreneur in the construction business is surprising. Even that there was nothing about my childhood that would have predicted this was the direction I would take. My father was an engineer. My mother was a school teacher. There wasn't a self-employed bone in my gene pool. Yet, somehow, I was always thinking something up. I started right after college. I was 20 years old and had no idea what I would do with my life. One day, I heard my mother and her friends complaining about how hard it was to get things fixed or built around the house. One woman was angry that a contractor had not shown up. Another had lost a deposit. Still another was frustrated with her husband, who was always saying he would get projects done around the house, but never did. I decided I would be the one to get things done. I went to a local print shop, and with $60 I had borrowed from my dad, had some business cards printed, I established a list of services that women might need done in their homes: painting, carpentry, plumbing, gutter cleaning, and general fix-it jobs. Of course, I had no idea how to do these things myself. I figure I would take care of that part later. First, I needed to line up work. I went down to the local shopping plaza every day from 9 to 5 and approached women as they came out of the grocery store, offering them my services. Suddenly, the phone started ringing at my parents' house where I was still living. "Barbara," my mother would say, "there's this lady on the phone who says she needs her house painted. What are you up to?" at that point, I was figuring out how to get the work done. I thumbed through my thought, the local penny saver, taking down names and numbers of local painters, carpenters, and plumbers. Once I had checked out their references and work, I would pick up the tradespeople in my dad's 1997 Buick, Lee Sabre, and deliver them to the job. One time a carpenter said to me, "You should really know how to do this work if you are selling it." He gave me his tool belt. I just remember how heavy it was and how it weighed me down. I could not know at that time what I was doing. The first bit of research for the biggest part of my future business. First thought, there was a lot more growth and then a big crash. I had a large number of women calling me for a variety of jobs. Then I decided to take the next step. I could know at the time that I was doing the first bit of research for the biggest part of my future business. First thought, there was a lot more growth and then a big crash. I had a large number of women calling me for a variety of jobs. Then I decided to take the next step. I wrote a letter to the local IBM corporate office and told them I had established a small crew of workers, electricians and carpenters. I was here if there was any work that IBM needed. When nothing came from that letter, I called the man in charge 25 times. He finally told me to come up to his office, where he agreed to give me a 2-year deal to do IBM's small contract work. From there, I started acquiring some big projects as I grew my business into a successful construction company. We were doing $40 million in business, including some of the largest corporate building out projects in New York City. I was barely 30 years old. I also managed to get married and have a baby somewhere in all this business building. But the good times didn't last. By the summer of 2001, it was clear my marriage was in trouble. By the early days in September, my husband and I knew it was over. My husband was moving to South Beach with another woman. It was just my young son, my booming business, and I. 4 years later, 9/11 happened. My business was crashed down with those World Trade Center towers. Most of my business at that point was in the Financial District and Midtown Manhattan. In fact, just the day before, I was in the NASDAQ office on Liberty Street measuring for a new project. But after 9/11, everything stopped in the world of corporate construction. In this business, you need to keep cash flow coming in or it's over. In my case, it was over. Not only that, but I was in a ton of debt. I was scrambling to pay my mortgages. I was getting sued. Everything that could be wrong did go wrong. However, even in the depths of my despair, I was learning some important lessons. First, I realized if I could somehow find the will to get out of bed in the morning, I could also take the time to acknowledge what was important. It might sound like a cliche, but I could see that I had my son and my health. I asked myself, what was special about me? Everyone has something. I took stock of what I was good at and what I wasn't at that point in my life. I've since learned that this is something I need to do periodically. And I realized that at heart, I am a serial entrepreneur. I can add water to anything and make it grow. I took the home repair business and built it into a successful and recognized commercial construction company in New York City. I could do something like that again. After all, I had been named one of Crain's 100 most influential women in business in 2000. Then pieces of inspiration begin to appear. The first piece came the holiday season of 2001. My four-year-old received a basketball net as a present, and he wanted me to hang it up. I realized I didn't have a hammer. My ex had taken the toolbox. Of course, he had the toolbox for even when I was this powerful. Powerful woman with my own construction business. I wasn't empowered inside my home. I was a damsel in distress, always turning to my husband to do odd jobs around the house. It occurred to me that other women were probably in the same situation or even worse. That's when I identified my new mission. I could help women feel empowered in their own homes. As women, we know how to make a cake, clean, and thanks to Martha Stewart, crochet the perfect doily. But we don't do basic fix-it job around the house. I set out to change that. The first step was to create a brand that marked a line of tools and guidebooks for the home to women in the area of home improvement. where they lack confidence, Barbara K. Tools, our designs, erotically to fit a woman's hand and aesthetically to suit her mindset. For instance, the hammer is curved with rubber on the tip, on the grip, non-slip cushion, and slightly lighter, making it more comfortable to hold. I also incorporated a fashion element. No novelty pink tools here. I decided to make all Barbara K. tools gray and blue. The gray symbolizes strength and security. The blue is the style touch that makes an Ulterior product fashionable. I was all set with my great idea, but I had no capital. I looked online to learn how to write a business plan, and I raised enough money to have a prototype of the toolkit made. In 2004, Barbara K. Tools were in just about every major retail store across America. Bloomingdale's, JCPenney, Linen and Things, Macy's. They were all on board. By 2005, so were Target, Avon, Ace Hardware, and Select Home Depot store. There was just one problem. My great idea, my fabulous tools sold, but they were a breakout success because no one knew who Barbara K was. I was failing. By the time 2005 came along, many retailers did not reorder. Here I was having to scrabble again. Only this time I had investors breathing down my neck and 29 people depending on me for their jobs. Talk about pressure. I know now that I was too aggressive in getting my products distributed, too aggressive in our products development and infrastructure. Cost without having the history of this new category at retail. It was just too expensive to produce and market them and still make money. I learned I had to pull back. That's exactly what I've done during the last couple of years. With TV appearances and newspaper column, 3 books, and my role as an AOL's exclusive home improvement coach, I've become more and more widely known. I am not just woman on TV swinging hammers. I am the woman who created tools to empower other women. I know there are plenty of women out there who feel powerless, either in their own homes or in their personal lives. To each one I say the same thing. Get out of bed each day and take hold of something that makes you feel powerful. Make small goals that will lead to accomplishments and then to bigger goals. By my entire journey started with a stack of business cards and no know-how. Finding what you are passionate about will fill in the blanks and lead you to the right direction to fulfilling your dream. Beautiful, beautiful. If you are listening and you have a personal story of something that you step out, I want you to please call 646-915-8166. That was the last story in this book. However, there are some closing thoughts that I will be sharing with you now. Closing thoughts. I hope you have enjoyed meeting these amazing, inspiring people. I feel as if I've won the media lottery, in that it's my job to interview these kinds of folks every day. As we come to the close, I have put together a small scrapbook of some of the inspiring images I hope you will take with you as you go through your dreams. What a powerful feeling it is to watch Scott Rigsby cross the finish line at the Ironman Triathlon in Hawaii. Scott inspires me by showing how making tough choices can bring you reward beyond your wildest dreams. How can I not smile when I think about Sebri Omar and his hospital in Africa? This Ethiopian immigrant lives in America, lives an American dream, and then uses his big good fortune to build a medical center in Ethiopia. You don't have to wait to be a billionaire to help others, he told me. This simple illustrates how true that is. After an afternoon with Bill Montgomery will cure what ails you. Never have I met a man with a better outlook on life. Who would have thought a blind man could teach me to see? At 91 years, Bill sees with his fingers and his heart as he creates magnificent sculptures. Lee Hirsch is the Dynamo breast cancer survivor with a message, a sense of humor, and a passion for saving the lives of young women. She exemplifies the importance of listening to your gut, whether it is telling you your doctor is missing a diagnosis or urging you to spread the word about an important health issue. Ladies, feel your boobies. I am so glad to have a photo of Kent Couch. Who else do you appreciate? What it makes a strap, a lawn chair to a bunch of helium balloons. Maybe you don't want to try this at home, but do take a cure from Kent, who refuses to let go of a child's dream. Sweet Henry Lanwith brought a tear to my eye and a lesson to my heart. This amazing Holocaust survivor shows me the incredible thing that can be created when you let go of hate and focus on love. Marie Hessel and the ladies of the Elite Repeat Shop shows me the importance of what they call a belief plan. They believe they could create the consignment shop of their dreams. $1 million in sales later, they certainly have done that. As Phil Use stands surrounded by boxes of breast milk ready to be shipped to Africa, she reminds me that inspiration to improve the world can come from strange places. It also helps to have a slightly listed sense of humor, filled with funny and smart enough to try an idea that most people thought was crazy. I know there are a lot of orphans in Africa and empowered moms in the U.S. who are glad that she did. And speaking of Africa, that's where you will find former investment banker Alicia Pollack as she builds a kayaka cookie factory. The women show her shown here were some of the first to join Alicia, who started a bakery to empower women in the poorest township of South Africa. Alicia was willing to walk away from the job with a fat paycheck in order to find work that filled her heart. Her journey shows me that inspiration comes in steps and pieces, not all at once. I hope that experiencing these wonderful stories helps each of you expand the idea of what's possible in your own life. If you were looking for more, you'll find a new inspiring story each day at DarianKagan.com. If you have or know of a story that fits the theme, how the world, what's possible, shows the world what's possible, please stop by my website and click on the box that says, tell me your story. There's a good chance I'll feature it on the website or in the next What's Possible book. Here's sending you the power to dare to dream. You can make a difference. Gratitude. The word acknowledgement doesn't cover the depth of what I feel toward many people who have supported me and contributed to this book. Most important, thank you to everyone I feature in these pages for taking your valuable time to share your stories and for allowing your journey and lessons to come through me to touch countless readers. Bill Busey, it starts with your phone call saying you should write a book. Thanks for listening to me when I told you I don't have time, and for providing this structure to make this project happen. Lisa Bursky, you are my literary fairy godmother. We stand here. You are dedicated as a book agent, surpass only by your soccer coaching skills. Vicky Ingram, the editor that could. You polish, push, and make hooray like no one. Without you, there would be no book. Doug Samuelson, there I set words. You see layout and design. Thank you for the beauty of this book, beyond what I could envision. Paul Schultz, you are the best brand builder ever come out of Horace Mann Elementary School. My late father, Stutt, thanks for teaching us as kids to get up and take it off after we fall. Mom, for always expecting the best. My Sissy and Mark Gunn for being my biggest fans. Tripod for setting on my lap throughout all the writing. Darla Louise, for looking up at me with those brown eyes telling me it was time to step away and go for a walk. I tell you, there are times when you go into stores and you are thumbing through the sales rack, and you pick up a book and you don't know what you're going to get out of it. I am so thankful the day when I picked up this book, What's Possible, 50 True Stories of People Who Dare to Dream. This could be you and I. This could be our story. In this book. However, we got to be bold and step out and focus on making a difference. There are times, especially as entrepreneur, when our loved ones look around and they're telling us, we can't do this, it's not going to be done, and all of that. However, listen, you heard for months, we have shared things that seemed impossible when you look at them. Yet people conquer those fears and step out and make magnificent things happen. I tell you, you must conquer your fear. You must believe in that which you are called to do. Even when it appears as if there is no light at the end of the tunnel, you will not know what's on the other side unless you go through. You must go through that tunnel. If you stop in the middle, you will not see the light. So keep going. I say, rest if you may, but don't sit for too long. Don't quit on your dreams. Don't give up. Find someone who will hold you by the hand and who will tell you, just take a few more steps. You are closer than you think. We are all so much closer. And if we quit, we will never know what the end will be like. I want to just encourage you to join us every Sunday. We are on from 7 to 8:30. And on Wednesdays, we are on from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And if you are in the New York area and you are listening to this segment between July the 6th, July the 15th, 2000, and August the 2nd, or through to August the 22nd, I want for you to message me because I want to offer you a unique opportunity to be a host family for a French cultural exchange program. We have amazing young people who are visiting our state for 20 days, and they are looking for host homes where you can help them to learn about your culture and to improve English. So if you are in the New York area or the Connecticut area, I want to encourage you to reach out to me either on the show here. You can email me, dynamicdaphne@aol.com, or send me a message via the radio show here. And I will be happy to give you more details about how you can be part of this amazing, amazing program. You see, you will never know the difference you make. One of these young people that you may host may be the next president of France. You never know. We never know the impact that we have on a young person. So I want you to call me 860-355-9838 or email me dynamicdaphne@aol.com, or if you're on my Facebook, message me. You can also message me here on this radio show. I encourage you, if you know someone that has a story of overcoming adversities or learning the lessons from the adversities, I want for you to please call me and let me know. I want to also share this song with you because a lot of things that we are not accomplishing in life is because we refuse to say yes. So I for those of you who have listened the show for a while, you know how much I love this song. And we all need to just settle down and learn to say yes. So here is the song, Say Yes.
Ask the person next to you, would you still say yes? Will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes. Now will your heart and soul say yes, yes? Will your spirit still say yes? God is saying, there is more that I require of
declaration. There six more months in the year, and I'm just saying yes to everything that I am called to do, regardless of what it looks like or what obstacles or challenges I'm faced with. I'm saying yes to that which I am called to do. And I pray that you too will call me. I mean, you too will join me in saying yes, in accomplishing that which we were called for. We are destined for greatness. You know, God created us to do amazing things. Why are we settling for less? Why are we settling for less? We must say yes and do that which we were called to do. I want to remind you that we are on the air again on Wednesday, 10 a.m. Eastern, and on Sunday again at 7 p.m. Eastern. Let me hear from you. Write us a note. Tell us what we're doing, what you want to hear on the show, and how we can together touch the rest of the world. I'll see you on Wednesday. Stay blessed.
Showing me,
showing me,
I can sense my way through, and breaking of day. It's destiny.
Hold on.